Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Would y'all just love on this band with a praise clapping? Glory be to God. Well, again, honored to be here, y'all. Got some great things happening. Ladies, do not miss. It is one of the biggest events at this church that the ladies and I mean they get all the cool stuff. But actually Angela and Amanda Andrews really started this. How long ago, Angela? Probably 12 years maybe? 10 to 12 years ago, started an ornament exchange. And I had the pleasure of seeing the ornaments that my wife bought in Las Vegas. And I tried to pack them into a bag, and I shipped them home, and they made it home safely. Praise the Lord, I know. I was kind of concerned about them, and, but it's a great time. And it's a cookie also. They make some cookies and exchange them, and it's just a great time. That's going to be this coming Friday, the 17th at 6 p.m. So ladies, and everybody's welcome. If you have friends that even go to other churches, bring them. It's a great, great time. And so put that on your schedule, please. We also, Christmas concert. I'm excited about that. We practiced this last week, and then we're going to practice again on Wednesday. We'll be in here practicing. Then I double booked the church. We don't charge anybody, but that the football players are going to come and eat a meal before the state championship game. Go Liberty Hill. State bound, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but forget about the rivalries between other little towns. When you've got one of a team in our area that is going to the state playoffs. Matter of fact, me and my wife and Seth are going to go, and it's at 11 o'clock on Saturday. So Friday, the football team's going to come in here and to eat a meal. And I believe that the anointing's going to be all over them where they go out over there and win state. Amen. And, but as I told some rodeo people, matter of fact, I ministered to a three-time world champion. They had moved our service really to 11 o'clock, and it was kind of me that helped do that. Normally, we do the service at the Mandalay Bay Casino, you know, in the trade show at 10 o'clock. And so all the contestants and lots of them come because they've just grown up with me in our ministry. Well, since we moved it to 11, a lot of them had to go sign autographs at different places in Las Vegas. So there was some that called me and wanted to meet before the service. So I gave a vendor service at 8 o'clock, then a mini church service at 10, and then a big service at 11. And the one thing that I reminded these cowboys and cowgirls in Las Vegas, because of just the hype, and you know, they're going for, you know, $10 million. It's like they, you know, it's the last go around last night, and a lot of them were leading the average or right there to win the average. And it's real easy to lose joy, get worried, you know. And so I reminded a bareback rider that his joy is not determined by what happens in the arena. He's got to have, if his joy is determined by that, then he's going to be upset a lot. Especially if he draws the wrong horse at the wrong time, gets bucked off or whatever in the roping events. If, you know, if your joy is in that arena or just how much you can make at the national finals, spending so much money through the year to make the top 15 in the world, and your joy is determined on what happens in 10 go-arounds, it's going to be a rough week. But if you just lay it all out there and do what you know to do and what you've practiced and what got you to be the top 15 in the world, then everything take care of itself. Because our joy is not determined that way. Amen?
Amen.
And so, thank God that we can have a Christmas concert while, and next Sunday, while, you know, all of life is still going on. So don't miss next Sunday night at 5 p.m. right here. We're going to do, our band's going to come and do a Christmas concert, and it's going to be fantastic. Amen? So put it on your calendar as well. All right. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, it's an honor to have you. Appreciate you so much. A lot of people welcome me as a new visitor when I show up. Seems like I'm gone in different areas, but I'm now home for a while and just hit and miss, you know, one weekend out of a month or two, but I'm here. If you've never been to Cowboy Church, it's an honor to have you. We appreciate you coming, but what we want to do, if you didn't get a little packet when you came in, we want to give you one right now. If you did get a packet, inside the packet is a visitor card. There's a pen in there. And we just want to have a record that you came, and we want to tell you how much we appreciate you. But doing that, we want to thank you right now. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you mind just to raise your hand, wave at us, and let us welcome you in Jesus' name. Thanks for coming. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys coming. Honor to have you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you. I know you passed a few churches probably to get here, and we're about 4.5 miles out. You're wondering, where is it? You know, but you made it. Praise God. Glory be to God. All right, with the same enthusiasm, let's clap for tithes and offerings, please. I was looking and just looking over the Word of God this morning in my office, and I got a question for you as they pass out the offering envelopes. And by the way, the reason we pass out offering envelopes is because there's a prayer part there. If you want to pray about anything, then put it down there. Also, if you notice, me and my wife do not take a salary at this church, and we're not going to ever. And so it gives us an opportunity then to teach about finances for about 5 minutes or so in every service. And here's why, y'all. I grew up in some denominational churches that never said anything about how to give, what does the tithe mean. You find out that there's four ways to give. You give through a tithe. As I travel the country, believe it or not, a lot of people don't even know what the tithe is. And so here we are trying to work hours and hours to get money that if you just learned how to do the first one in tithe, the Bible says that God will open the window of heaven and pour out the blessing. Now, growing up in denominational churches, they didn't say anything about money because they thought it might split the church or that the preacher was just trying to get her money. And that's how I grew up. And so when I told our people that when we started this church almost 18 years ago in May, that I was not going to take a salary, I mean, it freaked them out. They were like, what? How are you going to make it? And I said, well, I'm going to make it just like I teach. I'm going to trust God. He's the provider, you see. And so for all these years, oh man, it's a better way to live. But being raised the way we were raised and not talking about any of this stuff, by the way, the four ways of giving is the tithe, the offering, first fruits, and then what the Bible calls alms, which is just, you know, blessing a widow, helping someone that needs it, a needy person. And that could be anybody nowadays, especially with inflation. How many of you are going to be like me and not participate in inflation? You'll see in some churches, they're like, don't we have to? No, you don't. Not if God's the provider. Okay, let me ask you a question. What did you eat this morning? No, don't shout out all the things that you probably ate, because I know there's a lot of different things, right? But whatever you ate, where'd it come from? Well, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from a seed. It came from a seed. That's the tithe, y'all. That's what a tithe is, a seed. You're planting in the kingdom of God. Now, if someone doesn't use the seed right, they're going to be responsible for it, not you planting the seed. I think it's important, though, to know where you plant the seed. And so, when you understand that seed is really important, then I'm going to read this scripture to you in I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And here's what it talks about, and I like it in the verse 10 in the Amplified. And God, who provides the seed for the sower and the bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Glory be to God. Which manifests itself into active goodness, kindness, and charity. In the King James that I love, that I have the King James. I have a parallel Bible. You ought to, for Christmas, if you don't have a Bible or you want to get a new one and follow along with the ministers here, I have a parallel Bible, or a side-by-side Bible, they might call it in some Christian stores. The King James on one side, but right over on the other side is the Amplified. I like that. Now, I love some other versions, you know. I love the Message translation, etc. But this just helps when you got all the these, thous, and thuses of the King James that I grew up on. I just love it. Stood the test of time. Well, you go over to the Amplified, and to just amplify those words. But listen to this. Verse 11 in the Amplified says, "Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous, and your generosity as it is administered by us will bring forth thanksgiving to God." In other words, when you find out that God created a principle called seed, time, and harvest, you'll use that principle in everything in life. From your giving to how you treat somebody. I mean, all areas of life. If you work hard at your job, you're planting a seed. And I can promise you, if you do that, you're going to be rewarded with a bonus or a raise. Or, I mean, you'll be the one that owns the business one day. Amen. If you treat your employees, all you business people, you treat your employees generous, man, they're going to work harder for you. That's going to be the harvest, see. So this principle of sowing and reaping, God gives us the seed. It's time that we use it correctly. Amen? So when you give to a church, to a ministry or a minister, you're giving it into hopefully good ground so that seed will produce a harvest in your life. Amen? So come give with a big old shout of praise. Thank you, Lord. Glory.
I don't seek treasures that soon will be gone.
Thank you, Jesus. Where's all our kids? Usually there's kids up here. There they are. There's one. There y'all are. Y'all got to get up here faster. They're all looking at themselves. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for the giving this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it will be used wisely to further the kingdom of God. Pay bills for this church, to build things debt free. Thank God we do everything here debt free. So Father, as we believe for the indoor arena, I just thank you, Lord, you would cause the people to prosper so that we can finish things as you provide the finances. And we don't, now faith, sir, is now. And that's how we believe. We thank you, Lord, that our faith is activated by the Word of God, and it can be now. It doesn't have to take a long time. But Father, thank you, Lord, that we're doing it how the Word of God says we need to do it. And we're not going to go to a bank and borrow. Thank God these buildings are paid for, sir. Oh, that takes a lot of stress and things off of a pastor. Thank you, sir, that we live by your word. Bless these people back, sir. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before the kids leave, or do they leave? Do we send them out now? We keep them in here, don't we? We tried everything. We thought, well, let's take them out and before we do communion. But remind me, front row, I want to thank the people that helped us with the Christmas parade, building our floats, Lisa and all the gang, and I want to thank them. But I want to do communion real fast. So remind me of that. Just yell it out if I send out kids. How many of you know that communion is a very important thing to a believer? Let me ask you that again. How many of you know that communion is a very important thing to a believer in Jesus Christ? Say amen to that. Because here's what it represents. It's not a religious thing. It's not something we just do just to do it. It's done with something in mind. And here's what the Bible says in a couple of times in Corinthians. The first Corinthian in about, chapter 15. Let's move back to chapter 11. Because I went to 15, I was like, where is it at? It says twice here when it's talking about the broken body, which this bread represents, or the blood that Jesus shed. It says two times how to do it in remembrance of me. Jesus is talking, of course. So I think it's appropriate to start remembering a few things that Jesus did. That's what we're doing here. That's why you take communion, because hopefully it will build your faith up so that you remember everything that Jesus accomplished by being crucified and the way he was crucified. So that's what we do here. We remember not just that we see a picture of some blood coming down Jesus' face. No. It was a terrible beating that Jesus did for us. All prophetic. It was prophesied years before Jesus, matter of fact, knew what was going to happen before he did it. Now, think about this just for a second. Jesus was 100% man. He had to be, because he had to feel, he had to experience everything that you and I experienced today. He had to experience everything. So he was 100% man, even though he was 100% God, the Son of God. And the great thing about our Jesus is he conquered all of the things that you and I deal with today. Depression. I mean, just think about some of the stories that Jesus went through. You know, the fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And then when your body is tired, it's weak, that's when the devil attacks. And Jesus overcame all that. He overcame death. He overcame the grave. And now, thank God, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. You know what he's doing? He's praying for you. The Bible calls it intercession. He's interceding for you and me. What a God we serve. How many of you know, though, he could have, being 100% man, said no. I don't want to do this. There's too much pain. But as we know, he didn't say anything other than, it's not my will be done, Father, it's thy will be done. I freely give my life for the love of you, the Father, and the love of all these people. You see, sin was already abounding at this point. Adam and Eve had already sinned in the garden. They already fell, which caused the sin nature to come on the earth. There was no sin before that. Just a side note here. It's going to be a great, awesome time after the 7-year tribulation. Because we come back here to the earth for a 1,000-year reign. We'll be here for 1,000 years without sin. But what we're doing right now is we're remembering. Well, let's just remember one thing that comes to my mind right now. How about the love of God? Gosh, He has so much love for us. Even in our fits of carnality, He loves us. You know, some preach, though, that He, you know, holds things against us and He'll, you know, beat us down until we can finally look up. I read that this morning, you know, in a place, and I thought, oh gosh, I don't want to read that junk. Because it said something like how God will get you to the lowest so that you can finally look up. How many of you know He's already died and already have given us the Word of God so that we don't have to go down low? We just need to do what the Word of God says. Come on now. See, we're remembering the love of God. The love that's unconditional, not haughty, not puffed up. We're remembering what Jesus did by dying on a cross. And I'm telling you, if you get the understanding of what this bread, the broken body means, and you get the understanding of what the blood means, praise God, the shed blood of Jesus, it'll change your life. Matter of fact, you'll learn that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. We don't have to do anything now because we have to, because it's law. We don't have to serve Jesus because we have to. No, we get to serve Him because we want to. And it's the greatest way there is. Scientists are still trying to disprove the Word of God and they can't. These politicians that are trying to remove God from everything, they can't do it. You know why? Because there's people like you and I that are standing on the principles of the Word of God and we're not going to back down. Because the Word of God works. If we'll remember what Jesus did for us by dying and being raised from the dead. His body is broken. So when you eat this, you're remembering His love. You're remembering His goodness. You're remembering His kindness. You're remembering His grace. You're remembering that the blood covers a multitude of sins. You're remembering where the Word says sin abounds. The grace of God abounds much more. We're remembering all of the things by the body being broken. It was beat, y'all. Sliced open. That's why the Bible says by His stripes we're healed. He was striped. Literally, the whip, the cat of nine tails, was designed to slice the body open. And He took 39 of them. All for you and I. We're remembering that. So let's take, eat, and drink in remembrance of the Lord. Father, it's a privilege. Oh, Jesus. It is a privilege that You call me son. You call us sons and daughters of You, not just servants. Even though we serve, we're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And we're not forgetting that. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you give God some praise? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody that, as y'all pass down your little cups, we want to gather them from you. Everybody that participated in our float for the Liberty Hill Parade that they did last night, you drove the truck, you checked the lights, you decorated, you rode. Maybe you rode on the float. Would you mind to stand up, please? To stand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Did we win anything? That's what I was told, that we might have won something. Can you find out? Because we're going to put it on the billboard that we won. I'm kidding. All right. Thank you all so much. It was awesome. There was a lot of people there. And praise God. Thank you. Thank you. All the kids that rode and parents. It's all because of y'all and your leadership. Amen. All right. Kids church, youth group, you're dismissed out the back end with a big round of applause. All right. Here we go. Glory be to God. How many brought your Bible? Raise your Bible up. Let me see them. I want to see your Word. Always remember, bring the Word of God. If you're a youth, I'm telling you, if you want to go back there with them, which means you're just in high school, about 18 down to about 13, or 12 and under, and it might be 11 and under that go to kids' church, man, they have a blast, and you get to be with some of your peers, so... thank you all for coming. I always love to see the Word of God, because being in Las Vegas, I ministered. I mean, this, the Lord just hit it to me a few days prior to getting to Vegas, because they call Vegas the City of Lights. How many of you ever been to Las Vegas or seen it on TV? The lights. Wow. I mean, it's just, me and Jamie and Seth laughed, because you know you're in Vegas when a 7-Eleven store has flashing lights. 7-Eleven, remember? And the Wilson family went with us or got to be a part of us. I mean, just everything that happens in Las Vegas is just all lights. Well, God began to minister to me about that. And I began to find all kinds of scripture about light. How many of you know that we serve the light? The light. And I think it's important, since we're remembering what Jesus did through communion, that we kind of remember that. And I sing a song about it. We do it on the road. We've done it here many times. I put it on an album. I recorded this song called Let Your Light Shine. Amen. Because we're living in a world, and I don't know if God's transitioning right now. Rusty said last week that God really had him just building up all of you, you know, and edifying. And, you know, how many know we need that? We need to be built up. I think the world kind of drags us down plenty. We need to get built up. And I don't know if this is going to be just a really evangelistic message this morning, or if we're just going to get some revelation that you're not to live in darkness. Not if you're born again. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you live and operate by the light of the Lord Jesus. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Now, in Philippians, we stayed here a few weeks ago for a couple of services, and we really were built up. And all of y'all that are kind of new in the, let's say in the last few months even, you know, prior to that, again, y'all heard me tell you that I really felt the Spirit of God pressing me toward preaching on, getting us all used to speaking against the spirit of fear. And we all know that the Word says that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But most people focus on the fear, and they fear a lot of things. And hopefully, as you've been coming to this church, then you've taken authority over that spirit of fear. And I'm even talking way down to spiders, snakes, and things like that. Now, I'm not saying to, because we're not a, except on the third Sunday of each month, we're not a snake handling church. No, you bring a snake to this church and there's several guns going to come out. We're going to shoot that thing. So I'm not talking about handling something and not being afraid of it. No, we respect something that is not good, but not in respect in the way people think, where we just allow it to happen to us. We get into fear just because that's the way of life, or we get used to people saying, you know, sin, sir, sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. Well, not when you find out who you are in Christ. You find out in the book of Romans that the Bible says you have authority over sin. You can say no to it, or you can say yes to it. All of us have that opportunity, right? And sadly, we a lot of times say yes to sin in certain ways. Sometimes it's massive, and sometimes it's just little old things we just run into, and then there's forgiveness, and thank God for grace and mercy, I'm telling you, and God's forgiveness. But we've been talking in Philippians chapter 2, and you see it in verse 9, where God has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that's above every name, right? And we talked about that for several weeks, and we understand that at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. Just at his name. I mean, the power, praise God. Now, most of you know, because I hope I've helped you study it out, but that word power is a Greek word called dunamis. And dunamis power. Ooh, wow. Same, as we know, the same power that God had when he raised Jesus from the dead. You have that power. Not Superman power. I'm not talking about Batman power. I'm talking about the power of God to be able to be a witness, according to the book of Acts, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of... In other words, you don't have a spirit of timidity or fear, but you got a spirit of power, man, where you can stand against the enemy. How many of you know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? We wrestle against the spirits that are behind darkness, see? So here we're talking about light. So when you understand that God gave Jesus the name that's above every name, and at that name of Jesus, verse 10, every knee will bow of things in heaven, that's the first realm we learned. Things in earth, that's the second realm that every knee is going to bow in. You might as well do it here, because you're going to do it in heaven. Or if you reject God, you're going to also do it in the third realm. It says it right here. And things under the earth, that's hell. Well, if you keep reading, I know Levin talks about, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. I want you to keep reading though, and let's jump all the way down to verse 15. 15 says that you may be blameless in the King James, and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, I love a different translation. I think it's the New Living Translation, because it literally says so that no one can criticize you. So live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Now again, I want you to see though, in the King James at the end of it, it says among whom you shine as lights in the world. You might be the only light that's shining in the darkness, but you've got to allow God's light to shine in your life. Amen. You know, it's so easy to kind of look like the world. I mean, we do it. It just seems like it's almost a natural thing sometimes, if you don't have discernment, to kind of act and talk and be like the world. But all of us know, because of Jesus, we've been set apart. We've been called peculiar people. We don't do and act and be like the world. We are different people. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light through Jesus the light. Jesus is the light. So why would we want to be like something that we're not supposed to be like? We're not supposed to be like the kingdom of the world. Because of Jesus coming into our lives, we should be like the kingdom of God. Well, because of sin, though, the devil's, he's full of guilt and condemnation. Oh man, you just choose to do the wrong thing one time, and boy, here comes the devil. Man, I'm talking, he's pouring it on. Guilt. Guilt. You're guilty. Condemnation. You did it. You're not worthy. And all these things we hear. And then some cowboy preacher gets up here, a little bit bold, maybe not the greatest English, has a good Texas accent though, and starts speaking what the Word of God says, that you are actually worthy after you give your life to Jesus. You see, forget all that negative junk that we was raised up in religiously, like we're not worthy of anything, you know, you're just a little old worm. And start finding out that when you gave your life to Jesus, you became worthy. Matter of fact, God even made it deeper. He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to make you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Word of God is for you. If you would just dare to believe it and read it and declare it, it'll come to pass in your life. But see, all these things are going to take you not focusing on all the negative, the things that we did wrong. That's why the Bible says forget those things that are behind and look forward to the mark. You know, God's trying to get us to look forward. The devil's trying to look behind, trying to get you to remember all the bad things you did back when. You know what? If you would just say, God, all that in my past is in my past, and I am a righteous man or woman of God whom you are highly favorable of. I mean, you love me no matter what. And starts, instead of hearing, well, you're not worthy. No, you're worthy if you just start believing it. Here's the thing though. Darkness, man, just tries to get all over all of us. In Las Vegas, darkness is all around. It's everywhere. Everywhere you see or you're looking is man, can be a lot of darkness. Well, okay, I can either focus on that or I can focus on, wow, what a mission field. There's a lot of hurting people here that need to hear about Jesus. But don't think for one minute that there's not temptations to do wrong. Minding my own business, in my rent-a-car, with my son to the right in the front seat, and my wife in the back seat, in the line at Chick-fil-A. A car in front of me. I get my order before the car in front of me, and the polite man that says, my pleasure. He said, if you want to, just go around this car. Well, I had pulled up a little bit close. So I put it in park and looked back and just started easing back, knowing that I'm not going to hit the car behind me, when all of a sudden, in a harmonious train noise honk, he laid into it. And I'm telling you, it startled me. Well, I had some decisions to make. And honestly, the decision I chose to make was this. What are you doing? Stop honking at me. He said, I was trying to help you. I said, well, you didn't have to honk. I knew where you were. That's exactly how I handled it. And I drove off and I did this. Looked in my rearview mirror and he did this. So I did it again. Seth, my son, goes, Dad, I think you might have overreacted. I said, shut up, boy. I brought you into this world. I will take you out. I won't build another one of you because my wife won't let me. And he just kind of grinned. And y'all know, right? I was driving. Here the devil is guilt, condemnation. Yeah, you're a preacher. And then God's conviction. Down the road, maybe 2 miles, I thought, oh gosh. I looked at Sid and I said, gosh, you're right. I didn't handle that good. Now, my wife had not said one thing until right then. Yeah, you didn't handle it very good. Okay, I had another opportunity right then to handle it different. But I held my tongue on that one. I said, I apologize to you. Now to myself, I had already said, God, I'm sorry. He was in his heart, the guy behind me. Now, it was confusing, y'all, because he was trying to help me, but why did the horn have to last for 3 seconds? Anyway, I'm just trying to get some help from my family, church. And I said, God, I'm sorry. And I repented. You see, there's a lot of opportunities, guys, to walk in darkness and not the light of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to focus on all the negatives that even the word says here in 15 that so no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God. I love that part. Shining like bright lights. I love that part. But a lot of people focus on in a world full of crooked and perverse people. They're looking at a lot of the darkness and you can't be in the light when you're constantly looking at darkness. Look what John 1 and 5, I just want you to write that down because I want to tell you that the Bible says the light shines in darkness. Listen to this though. And darkness can never extinguish it. You see, through sin, the light is constantly trying to be extinguished by darkness, but it can't. Not the light of the Lord Jesus that has a name above every name. I mean, when we let the light of Jesus and we start handling things properly, yes, I wanted to go back and try to find that guy and his wife and tell him I apologize, but I mean, obviously it's Vegas and I was already too far gone. But the conviction of God, I just repented. And you know what happened when I repented? Yes, my family agreed with the reaction that I did, which was negative and not good. But you know what my God did? He said, good boy. And he threw that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. And the Word of God says, when I repented and asked God to forgive me, he remembers it no more as far as the east to the west. You see, that's living in the light. But the devil, he wants you to stay in the rut of darkness. I mean, the same old thing you've been dealing with over and over. God, it's me again. I did it again, sir. Please forgive me. Yes, God forgives you, but there's something about you getting that light of Jesus so that you can really overcome the enemy trying to keep you in that rut. And he's trying to do it in all kinds of areas, y'all. Our children, our marriages, our finances. I mean, just the things we have to live in this world. I think it's so important to start letting the light of Jesus shine in our lives. So I want to build you up just with a few more scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to go over there because I want you to see a few of these things. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. And check out how the Word talks in 14 to not be unequally yoked. Now, we always focus on that right there. Don't be unequally yoked. And I teach my daughter, hey, we don't date people that's not born again. Don't make a lick of sense. You have lots of trouble thinking that you'll try to lead them to the Lord later on. No. No, you lead them to the Lord before you start dating somebody. Really, really dating, if you want to be honest, is only to qualify one for marriage. You're not supposed to date because you're lonely. Okay, let me... That'll be next week's message, y'all. Let me move on. No, you date so that you can qualify the person for marriage. If they're not qualified for marriage after a few dates, then you move on until you find what the one that God's sent for you that qualifies for marriage. The one that you're not unequally yoked. You don't yoke yourself with an unbeliever, in other words. I don't know why we're not teaching our children this anymore. Matter of fact, we're doing some weird things nowadays. We don't even whoop their butt no more. Can I say butt in church? I mean, what's wrong? I was raised pretty good and I ended up okay. I got beat. But still. I mean, just training up children in the ways of the Lord. Not being afraid of training up people right. I'm not talking true abuse. I'm talking about training up people and saying, that's not right, son. It's not right. It's what preachers need to do behind these podiums, y'all. And start preaching this Word of God without the fear of someone getting offended and leaving the church. No, I don't want to. I'm not trying to offend. I just want to teach you the right way so that darkness don't try to come in, because it cannot come in and distinguish God's light. But I'm telling you, darkness can be so prevalent in one's life that you can't see the light of the Lord. But boy, you got the light living on the inside of you. In a very dark world. Listen to me. I don't preach messages to try to get people down. I want to build you up. You've got the light of the Lord living on the inside of you, hopefully. And if not, you're going to get saved today. You're going to give your life to Jesus. Because you're going to only live in darkness without the light being a part of your life. Look what I found in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? You see, it doesn't. You cannot mix light and dark. When you turn on the light in your house, darkness is no more. I mean, there's light to see something. It might be a little dim in some houses, but it's light, you see. Man, but when you understand what lives on the inside of you, the Jesus, the Son of God, the name that's above every name, then there's no darkness that will prevail. Light will not be extinguished, praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about how we are the children of light. In Romans chapter 13, I want you to read it sometimes in verse 11 and 12. It literally tells us to put on the armor of light. I mean, it's easy to put on the armor of darkness. You waking up in a bad mood, ticked off about life, what went on at work yesterday, how someone has treated you, how you grew up. Maybe there is some sickness and disease just trying to attach itself to your body. Are you going to live in that darkness? Or are you going to live in the light that has overcome darkness? We are the light of the world. And we got to start shining bright, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. When all hell is coming against you in some areas, let your light shine. Because if you do, you'll be the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. I mean, just saying to someone that's having a bad day that, yeah, darkness is trying to come into their lives and get them tricked into doing something wrong. Just that one word of light. Hey, God loves you. Hey, you can do it. You're more than a conqueror in Christ because He loves you. You can do all things through Christ because He strengthens you to do it. You are the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Matter of fact, you were made righteous, even if you don't act righteous. See? Because that's how God created us. He knows all your thoughts, all the sparrows that fly. He's that good of a God. And He's worthy of praise. So let's let the light shine. You know what will cause this church, I mean the chairs, to even keep going further back? Is when people want to see, wow, I want to hear about this Jesus. I want to hear about the light of the Lord. Y'all see how I almost tripped right there? But I overcame it. You might be in darkness right now in some areas. I'm not saying just totally dark, but there's just some areas that you're battling with, boy. Ooh. I want to give you some advice. Number one, clean your house. You hear me? Number one, clean your house. There might be some things on that old telephone we call a cell phone, or there might be some things coming out of that square tube that's on your wall called a TV. There might be some things musically that you're listening to that are just allowing some darkness to stay put. But when you start getting some of these things out of your life and you let the light of the Lord Jesus come in, oh man, you won't be yelling at the kids any longer and cussing them out. I always say it like this: when you talk to God, you don't have to change your voice. You know, it's so funny when I'll ask someone to pray and they hadn't prayed in a long time, or they just are religious. I mean, they might have the most Texas accent, but when I ask them to pray, their voice drops. Most holy God, up thou in heaveneth, heareth thou prayereth, as we are about to sit down at the meal that thou hast made us, grant us thy healthiness. And I'm like, He don't talk that way. I just always say, when you talk to God, just talk how you normally talk. Just leave out the cuss words. I mean, there's something about saying, God, I just need some help, sir. I need some revelation. I need to know what to do, sir. And I'm telling you, when you do that with that heart, He hears the prayer. Now, He hears it all kinds of ways, no matter how you say it. But I'm just saying, talk to God like you would talk to me. Pastor, man, I just need some help. You see, God knows everything anyway. He already knows your thoughts. He already knows it all. We can't hide anything from us. He's never in darkness. We can't sneak around and hopefully He won't. Now, maybe your family or friends might not see some stuff you're doing, but God does. So why don't you just let the light expose the darkness? I'm not talking publicly. I always find it interesting how some people want to publicly embarrass people. No. You do it privately. Because that's how God is. He's a God of grace, mercy. But people aren't. They're going to remember your sin a long time. I can tell you so many stories about that in my life. Knowing some of the things I did back when, oh man. The party was at my house actually in 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas in college. Y'all remember I would have a different crowd. We would party on Monday, a different crowd on Tuesday, because, you know, some would have to study. You know. A different crowd on Wednesday and a different crowd on Thursday. And then on Friday and Saturday, we had all come together. And I remember looking under the house. It was a pear and bean house. And I looked under there, and there was like 100+ people scattered in this house. And you could see the floor dipping low to the ground. Like, golly. But then again, on Sunday, since I was a Christian, we rested. So, Mr. Truth. We would rest on Sunday. Oh, man. One day, though, I got on my knees and I said, God, I know better. I mean, I was doing Bible studies the first semester of college. And then the parties was at my house the second year of college. And I said, God, forgive me. I know better. You know what happened when I did it? God not only forgave me, boy, the light started shining. I mean, yeah, maybe I was in darkness, but man, thank God for the light. And you deserve it. You deserve happiness. You deserve peace. You deserve joy. You deserve prosperity. You deserve all the things that God has for you. So it's up to you to walk in the light, because you serve the light named Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you so much that you are the light. And we're approaching Christmas, sir. And I know even a parade can get our focus off of the reason that we celebrate Christmas. The reason is the light, Jesus. It's not all the other stuff. It's only because of Jesus. So, Father, thank you for helping us to remember that. That we are the light of this world because Jesus, the light, lives on the inside of us. But, Father, if there's someone here or watching us that is not living in the light, maybe they don't even know Jesus. They've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life. I ask you to draw their heart to you right now in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, every head bowed, your eyes closed, just out of respect for your neighbor, I pray you would bow before the King Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Is He the Lord of your life? If you left this earth and you died, do you know? Did you hear me? Do you know where you'll go? According to the Bible, not some preacher, according to the Word of God, the Bible says when you leave this earth and die, you'll go to one of two places. There is a place called heaven. There is a place called hell. Obviously, the reason I'm up here, I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't quite care how mad I am at someone. I am not wanting anyone to go to that place. So you have to decide where you're going to go. That's why God gave us a will. And your will can choose life, this is Deuteronomy chapter 30, or death. It can choose blessing, or it can choose the curse. God helps us, and He says in Deuteronomy 30, but choose life and blessing so that you and your seed will prosper. You know who your seed is? Your kids and their kids and their kids. You want them to prosper and go to heaven as well by choosing life. Well, Jesus is the life. Matter of fact, in John 14, the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to the Father because He is the truth, the life, the only way to the Lord. So is He your way? Or have you not given Him your life? If I'm talking to you and you're watching or you're in this audience and you don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth, I want you to give Jesus your life right now by praying a prayer. And you're not going to pray it by yourself. All the people in here that are born again, we're going to all pray it together. And we're going to ask Jesus to come in so that you can receive the light of the Lord Jesus that exposes darkness. Man, no, He wants you to be happy, not upset and beat up. But is He your Lord? If He's not, I want you to pray this prayer. We're going to pray Romans 10:9, y'all. It says that if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And that's what I want for you and for me. I want to be saved from this wicked world. And we need a Savior. And that's why God sent Him, His only begotten Son. You remember? So let's all pray this prayer, even believers. But I'm really talking to anyone in here that does not know what would happen to them if they died and left this earth. You don't know where you would go. Please choose heaven by choosing and receiving Jesus right now. We're just going to pray it. And we're going to have people that are going to pray it around you. We'll just pray it with you. But let's pray it just like this. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, I believe that You have been raised from the dead. And today, I am saved. I am born again. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. While I'm here, I need help. I'm going to serve You. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you look up, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But what I am going to ask you to do is right where you're sitting with no one looking around, is be bold enough and not scared to confess that you just gave your life to Jesus. And that's all I want you to do. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I want you to raise your hand if you just gave your life to Jesus and then just put it right back down. Here's why I do this. The Bible says if you will confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father. In other words, don't ever be ashamed of our God. Don't ever be ashamed of receiving Jesus, no matter where you're at. So that's why I want you to do it right now and get some boldness. If you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer for the very first time, get that hand up at the count of three and put it right back down. Ready? With boldness. 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, sir. Glory be to God. Thank y'all so much. We're just going to hand you a Bible. There's several of you. Glory be to God. If you don't get a Bible, just raise your hand up real fast. No one's looking. Make sure you got a Bible. There's about five of them. Maybe six. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, look at me, y'all. Hey, listen to me. I know I pastor this church very evangelistic. That's why so many people get saved here. It's amazing. I've never seen a church in all these years of ministry where there'll be 5 to 6 saved, sometimes every week. Very seldom is there not in any, you know. Every now and then there'll not be. I was raised in churches when you got 10 in 1 year, we celebrated at the end of the year for 10. Thank God for that. But I don't know what God's doing. Matter of fact, He brings in ministers just to get built up. And sometimes I don't even know their pastors. One guy came from San Francisco, California. Had pastored for a long time, just beat up in that old liberal city. Y'all, all my California friends know. By the way, I'm going there to evangelize on Easter. I haven't done it in how long? A long time. I'm only going to do it this 1 year. But I used to go every Easter to do a big church open, and they're doing a big benefit for two cowboys that died these last couple of years. And I told them I'd do it. Hundreds get saved at these things. So when God does it here, and this pastor from San Francisco, he was here for a solid year, and I never knew he was a pastor, just to get built up, and then he headed back. God, thank you for people getting saved. Amen. Y'all that gave your life to the Lord, you're now our brothers and sisters in Christ. When I'm hurting, I need you. We don't need to be fighting with denominations. We need to be together and loving on each other. When you're hurting, you got a big family. Not to spill all your faults. No, we're here to be a family. Amen. So next week, we're going to carry on. Thank God I'm here. I'm here. Amen. 2 weeks in a row or more. Love y'all very much. I know it's 4 minutes after. Someone emailed me earlier, how long does the services last? I said we start at 10:30 and we hope to be done by 12. But I didn't say 12 immediately. So 12:04 is okay in evangelism, and so we're okay. Love y'all very much. Amen. Any kind of prayer y'all need, you come down here at the end. If you're new, thank y'all for coming. Honored to have you. Please come back. We're just a 18-year-old church. We may make some mistakes, but I'm here to tell you we preach this word. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Did you have a good time? God's a good God, y'all. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that the Word of God says that you do not stay here when we leave. The Bible says you never leave us or forsake us. This is just a building called a church. But you and I, all of us, are the church. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that you don't stay here. You get to go with us. You get to go and minister to us, and we can fellowship with you and ask you questions and read your word, and you get to be with us as we leave now. Until we come back for Tuesday night Bible study that so many people come to. God, thank you for that. Or until we do the ornament exchange for the ladies on Friday at 6 or the concert next Sunday. Father, I thank you, Lord, that it's a pleasure to have you with us. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that gave their lives to you. If they don't have a home church, I pray that this could be their church. And if not, sir, I ask you to find them a good Bible-believing church that they can get into and plant. We love you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause.